You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 38. And for those of you that have been listening to the show for quite a long time now, you'll know that these podcasts are always done in one take. No editing. Ah, dog barking just to prove the point. We'll keep her in. But sometimes when I have a guest on the show and interpret a dream, I interpret the dream first and then add the intro, which is this bit, and the outro at the end, just because it kind of works better time-wise that way, rather than keeping the guest hanging on the phone or hanging on to Skype while I record the beginning and the end. So I've just got off the phone after recording Jen's dream. It's a beautiful, lovely dream, and I thought I'd just have a little talk about it before we go into the recording, because I think you're going to really love this one. It's quite a long dream, and it has a lot of detail in it, so we really pick the eyes out of it. And you'll see as you listen in how the process goes, how the process works with the dreamer giving the dream, and how we gradually nibble away at it until the big picture emerges. And one thing that I particularly like about Jen's dream, and as you'll hear, is that some way through she introduces the fact of some things that happened in her waking life around the time of the dream, and I start to interpret those. You know, sometimes it's very insightful to interpret dramatic things in your waking life as if they were dreams, and you can learn a lot about yourself in the process, and we do some of that during the interpretation. So this is one I think, you know, sit back, kick off your shoes, close your eyes, and really get into it. It's got some lovely messages in it for everybody, whether it's your dream or not. There's definitely something to learn from this one. And it was an eye-opener for Jen too. So here we go. Have a listen. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And would you like to describe your dream and we'll get stuck in?
Yep. I titled the dream, it started with a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, I'm walking through a schoolyard and I see a little cat with glasses on. The cat's facing me with its cute little glasses, then it rolls over to the other side. I feel as though the cat's in trouble and needs rescuing, so I go and pick it up and take it home with me. My home in the dream is my cousin's house, and she's living with a friend. Her friend is quite nice but seems a little reckless and all over the place. The house is very untidy, clothes and belongings thrown around the place. I put the cat down in the house and it comes and leaps up onto my shoulders and drapes itself along the back of my neck, the head of the cat on the right shoulder and the tail hanging down the left. I sense this cat is more talented than an average cat. I pop it on the floor and ask it to sit. It does. And then I say, lay down. It does. All three of us are watching excitedly. Then I say, roll over, and the cat does. That's when I remembered that that there was a cat show on. So we all decide to take the cat back to the school. Now we're all in a van and there's a guy in the front seat showing me pictures of myself. The guy is my boyfriend and the pictures are of me with long, long hair out and all curly. The first picture, my hair looks amazing, but my facial expression is that of surprise, and same again for the second picture. I look down sadly and say, too bad I cut all my hair off. My boyfriend then looks at me and almost angrily says, you're beautiful, full stop. Then he climbs into the back next to me and turns into a pretty yet cold-faced girl. The girl starts randomly saying to me and my cousin, but not to either one of us in particular, you need to lose weight. My cousin, which has now turned into a male cousin, objects. Then the girl says, thunder slap. I immediately think she's insulting the size of my thighs, and I get pissed off with her. Then the van changes into a train, so I start to walk away from them. I get off at the train station, and I walk out of the train station and into a clearing where there are two little churches joined together. I walk into the first church and see a very quiet and humble ceremony, but it's a Maori wedding. I walk through, not feeling too welcome because it's so small and quiet. Then the next church is a Māori wedding again. However, this wedding is loud. It's a small church but lots of people. I sit down next to an old lady and a middle-aged lady. The old lady greets me in my native tongue and asks me where I come from. I reply back in Maori, "Hello, my name is Jen, and I'm from Kaikohe." "Oh," says the lady, "down south." I smile at her. Then the younger lady pipes up and says, "No, no, that's the north of the north." "Yes, that's right," I reply. Then the groom starts to do a traditional greeting to all his guests. All the while, his bride is still not to be seen. The groom is young in appearance, but gives nothing really of his personality. Then his older brother gets up to do another traditional greeting. The older brother is more handsome, but seems more all over the place. His hair is tied back, but his curls are falling down his face. His shirt is only half tucked in, and his tie isn't tied properly, but he has a gorgeous charm about him. At the end of the speech, the guitar strums twice. Jink, jink. Why did you choose the first girl? I'm sorry, this is a bit rude.
That's okay.
Why did you choose the first girl you stuck your dick in? Chink, chink. Damn, you're only 16. Everyone laughs.
Including me, sorry.
In my culture, it's not too uncommon to be crude about that kind of thing.
I know.
But okay, good. And then an auntie gets up to do a traditional greeting, which is not common for women to get up and speak in an open forum. The auntie starts almost singing, "Look at all these gifts, aren't they beautiful? But where do I put mine? Look at all these dishes filled with all this beautiful kai," which means food. Mm-hmm. "Where is the room for my gift? Where do I put it? Jink, jink," the sound from the guitar, "my handkerchief." And as she says this last word, she shakes out this beautiful big tablecloth. And I wake up.
Oh, wow. What a fantastic recall, Jen. That's amazing. Well done. That song that the aunt in the dream was singing at the end, is that a traditional song, or did all those words come through in your dream?
No, all those words came through in my dream. But what's funny is that because women aren't really allowed to speak on a marae, like a meeting place, but they are allowed to sing. So that's what I thought was. So she's almost singing, but she wasn't actually singing.
Ah.
So, yeah.
And what,
but no, that all came in my dream.
And you remembered it as well.
I did, actually. I got up in the morning and told Gloria all about it.
You must have a fantastic creative mind, you know. I mean, whether or not it's showing yet in your waking life, it's certainly showing in your dreams.
Oh, that's cool.
Just a few little questions, Jen, to begin with, first of all. The little cat in the dream, do you have a cat yourself at all?
No.
And what personality did you, I mean, obviously the cat was cute and had little glasses, but what kind of personality would you say the cat had?
It kept to itself, but it was, choosy of who it wanted to be around.
Okay, that's right. Choosy of who it wanted to be around, and luckily it liked being around you, which is really good.
Yeah.
And the train at the end, you seem to be in a van, and then you said it changed into a train, and you suddenly went on the train. You left everybody behind at that stage, did you?
Yeah, the van turned, it was a white van, and then it turned into like a silver train. And once the lady insulted me, I was like, well, I don't want anything to do with you. And so I just walked away from her on the train and then got off at the next stop.
So it's almost like you were like the cat there being choosy about who you're going to be with.
Yeah, that's true.
You made that choice. I don't need that in my life. Thank you very much.
No.
I can decide where I go and who I associate with. We're going to come back to that theme later because that's an important theme in your dream. But I just had another couple of little questions. At the beginning of the dream, you took the cat home to your house, and the house in your dream was your cousin's house. And she had a friend living with her that had stuff all over the place. So we've got the personality of the friend, you know, like kind of stuff all over the place. What's the personality of your cousin?
My cousin, even in my dream and in reality, she's very mothering and very nurturing.
Oh, that's lovely. So it was a great place to take the little cat.
Yeah.
Okay. And one other question. When you first got into the van and you were showing the photos, the three photos of yourself, and you said blonde curly hair.
And it was long. Yeah, not blonde.
Oh, long. I was going to say, with your background, how come you got blonde hair?
No, it was long.
You'd have beautiful dark hair. Long,
yeah,
okay. So that leads me to, I have to ask then, did the cat have long hair?
No. The cat actually looks quite, it looks almost, in my dream, it was identical to Gloria's cat, which is, she has a lilac Siamese cat.
Oh, right, okay. So when you,
with short white hair.
So when you think of Gloria's cat, what personality has that cat got?
Gloria's cat is exactly the cat that I had in my dream. In fact, I actually think that Gloria, sort of a combination of, in the dream, because the glasses that the cat had on are the same glasses that Gloria wears.
Ah, good observation.
Yeah, I didn't click until this morning we were talking about it. I was like,
excellent. That's wonderful. Okay, so I don't actually know what your relationship with Gloria is. I know that I've called you on the same phone number that Gloria has, so I don't need to know that, but obviously you know her quite well. And because you dreamt about the cat that is Gloria's cat and looks a bit like Gloria because it's wearing Gloria's glasses, you're actually dreaming about something about Gloria that you actually relate to. Now that dream, the cat in the dream is quite choosy. It makes decisions about who it wants to be with and who it doesn't want to be with.
Yeah.
And when you look at Gloria, what is it that you relate to in Gloria that is a little bit like, is Gloria like that? Is she a choosy kind of person?
Gloria is a bit like the cat, yeah.
Mm.
I think, yes.
And
what do I relate to with Gloria?
Yes, yeah.
Oh. It's a tough one.
Mm.
I think we've had the same sort of family upbringing. She's elder out of her sisters and sort of looked after them, and I've done the same with my sisters. I don't really know.
Okay, no, that's a good start, Jen. You, the cat, and Gloria, and the Gloria cat, have all been older children and have all done a lot of having to look after other people in your lives.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that in the dream, you want to look after the cat. You want to take the cat somewhere safe and look after her. You said you wanted to rescue her.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so rescue is kind of like a really acute form of helping. Not only help, but actually help in an enormous way, which is rescue. Save her from some kind of danger. So sometimes in life when we spend a lot of time looking after other people, or when we've been brought up to look after other people, we sometimes put out a lot of our energy, so much of our energy into helping other people, and then people come to us and they want help and we help them, and more people come and we help them, and we see, oh, this person needs some help, I must go and help them. Oh, this person needs some help, I must go and help them. And who's the first person that we don't help under those circumstances?
Ourselves,
yeah. So there's a sense there of a person or a part in yourself that has had to help a lot of people and in a sense rescue a lot of other people is in this dream being called to make sure that you help yourself as well, that you put yourself at least equal amongst other people, not second. Can you relate to this so far?
Yeah, I can.
Mm. And I love the way in your dream that you keep, there's a kind of tension, you know, you keep coming back to your culture and your traditions in the dream, and the way that you describe them, it's very loving and very beautiful. You're obviously very proud for all good reasons of your culture and you love that tradition. But at the same time, there's a tension there, you know, the fact that the aunt's song at the end, beautifully, beautifully described. And although she's singing so that she can speak at the meeting, she's put it into song. Her song is really saying, what was it now? Here are the bowls, so how can I fill them? What was the first line of the song?
Look at all these gifts, aren't they beautiful, but where do I put mine?
That's right.
And look at all these dishes filled with this beautiful pie, this food. Where's the room for my gift?
That's,
where do I put my handkerchief?
That's beautiful. So everything in a dream represents part of you. So this question at the end of the dream, after we've been through the whole dream, this question is, but where do I put my gift? Where is the room for my gift? And we're talking here not so much about the gift that you've brought to the wedding in the dream, but the gifts and talents that you've got. Where do I put my gift? I've been brought up in a tradition which I really value, but maybe just sometimes it's a tradition where the female can't really speak. She has to sing. She has to go the extra mile. She can't just talk. She's got to be really clever. She's got to sing. She's got to sing and rhyme.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah. So, you know, how do you balance that, valuing your culture and deciding which parts of your tradition you want to take forward with you and honour? And how do you also say, but how do I use my gift? Sometimes maybe there's a way to use my gift in other areas of my life, which aren't directly related to my tradition and culture.
Yeah.
And you've got that, I feel you've got that tension right at the beginning in the cat. So although you've got this cat that's wearing glorious glasses, when you think about it, a cat is a very instinctive kind of animal. You know, it doesn't really need to think things through. It knows what to do. You know, cats are supposed to be really good intuition. They can stick their nose and their whiskers in and they know what to do and where to go. They're kind of psychic. We think of cats like witches' cats. They're psychic, don't we?
Yes, that's it.
Whereas glasses is more like, you know, even though there's people like me and Gloria that wear glasses because we can't see without them, we still think of glasses as being, well, you know, you've got to be intelligent if you're wearing glasses.
Yeah.
I remember when I was at university, at one stage I stopped wearing glasses and I got contact lenses, and there were three people in the tutorial group that I was a student in. The other three were boys. Two were boys and one was a girl. And two of the boys came to me the next day and said, you know, we can say this to you because we know you really well, and you may look more beautiful wearing contact lenses than you do wearing glasses, but when you speak in a tutorial, we don't quite take you quite as seriously anymore.
Without your glasses on.
I thought, wow, that is really very interesting. I mean, that was back in the mid-70s, but that was a interesting observation. So I think your cat with the glasses on in the dream is like there's a conflict there between the part of yourself that is deeply intelligent and uses your thinking processes a lot. Because you obviously are a deeply intelligent person, I can tell from your dreams and from talking to you. And there's also the more cat-like, deeply intuitive part of yourself, a lot of which you may also have carried forward or been born into you from your culture and your tradition. And you're kind of left, well, which am I? How can I do both of these? Because the cat's kind of got both of these and needs some help here as well.
Yeah.
So your gift may be something to do where you're trying to marry. Oh, we've got that at the end of the dream, the marriage, the wedding, where you're trying to marry your intuitive gifts with your more either intellectual or maybe more non-traditional gifts, you know, how to be, how to have both the male side of yourself and the female side of yourself strengthened. Hey, did you, in your dream, you kept getting boys that turned into girls and girls that turned into boys?
Yeah, that was strange, hey.
Yeah. So that could be, well, you know, everybody in a dream represents a part of yourself. So it's the female part of me also has a male side, and the male side also has a female side.
Yeah, that's true.
The female side is your creative, intuitive, say more like the cat, your spiritual side, your psychic side maybe, or your creative side. And your male side is more like the glasses. It's the sort of intellectual, let's analyze this, let's think about it. Now, ideally, everybody, no matter what your background, everybody, whether you're male, female, wherever you come from, whatever your tradition, ideally, everybody would have, you know, be equally as strong in your female side as in your male side. But some traditions, such as the Maori one, as you've described it, in some areas, the female side isn't allowed such strong expression.
No, that's true, yeah. Mm.
So this dream is about your conflict and wanting to demonstrate your gifts and have your gifts in a balanced way, both the intuitive side and the intellectual side. Where is there room for me? I'm a bit different. I've got special gifts. Where is the room for me that I can marry my culture with speaking out? And there were the two churches at the end. You said one was a bit too peaceful and this one was quite nice and loud. And it reminded me a bit of when you took the cat to the cousin's house and her friend was kind of a little bit stuff all over the place. It's a bit more expressive. Yeah. It doesn't matter so much. And you've got that at the end there too. It was you preferred the loud and noisier wedding. So that's
didn't feel like I was intruding as much if I wasn't there. The quiet one.
Oh, that's a key point. That's a very good observation. So it's where you want to in life express yourself and express your talents without holding back, so you can be louder and exactly as you've just said there, Jen, without feeling like I'm intruding. So when we go and we decide that we want to help a lot of people or rescue a lot of people, and we don't allow ourselves the time to help ourselves, that can be a situation where you then start tiptoeing around other people. You don't want to intrude. I just want to help you. I just want to change your life, but I don't want to intrude.
Oh, yes. Right, okay. Make this so.
Yeah. Whereas really, it would be lovely to say, I do want to help you. I do want to change your life, and I want to change mine too. And hey, listen, I've got a really interesting story to tell you. I've got some gifts here. Where can I put them? How can I express them?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the essence of your dream. And then through that, you've got that lovely feeling of the, I love the way that the cat is choosy. Because sometimes if you're not choosy in life, you just end up doing everything on your plate, you know, and how do you progress?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you tend to do everything that everybody asks you to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was only just talking to Gloria about it. I cannot say no to people when they ask me to do something, anything.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. I've been able to say no a couple of times this week already, and
oh, that's fantastic! It is. It's very hard to do when it's not the way that you're brought up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, I think it's just embedded in there that you you just say yes.
That's right. But when you realise that that's exactly what it is, you know, embedded in there, you know that you can then choose to change that. Because if you help everybody or you say yes to everything that comes your way, then you're not able, you might say to the 100th person that comes to you, I can't do that. My plate is full. Where can I put my gift? And that might be the one that is most advantageous to the other person and to you. And you admire the cat so much in the dream. You admire the cat for being choosy, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Actually, it was funny. Last night I was on the internet because I had a car accident last week. And so now I'm looking for a new car. And I was on the internet last night and I ended up emailing, I don't know, over 20 cars, and by the time I got halfway through looking at all the cars to choose from, I'm like, I have to be more picky with this, otherwise I'm going to have cars coming out my ears.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Always remember that story, Jen, because it's a perfect example of it. Yeah. How can you choose if you keep asking more? So your car accident was probably Waking Life's way of showing you that you perhaps need to, you know, choose your direction with more care. Again, being choosy. And the other lovely thing running through your dream was the way that you, at the beginning of the dream, people were being a little bit critical of you, you know, about your thighs, for example.
Yes.
But at that point you went, no, actually that was a turning point in the dream. No, I'm angry about that. And earlier in the dream you were being critical about yourself. Oh, I shouldn't have cut my hair. Oh dear, yeah. I shouldn't have done this. And so as the dream goes on, you actually get less critical and almost, it's almost as if the criticism people are putting onto you finally makes you explode and you go, no, enough.
Yeah.
I am.
And I just take off.
Yeah, that's right. And so this is, in a sense, I'm sure you'll have felt, because otherwise it wouldn't be in your dream, that you felt that people have criticized you. But because everybody in a dream represents something about you, the reason why this has happened is, or the reason why you've allowed this is because you are critical of you, or you have been.
I'd have to say, yeah, more so I'm more critical of myself than anyone else.
That's right. Well, and then as soon as someone else is critical, a part of you goes, oh, yeah, well, I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
But by the same token, knowing that means that, you know, now that you do know you're critical of yourself, you know that that's just a choice too.
Yeah.
You can choose not to be critical.
You choose not to be. Yeah.
Because if you, it's like you just described about being on the internet last night, and by the time you looked at 20 cars, you needed to narrow down the choice.
Yeah.
If you're kind of full of criticizing yourself every which way you go, you're kind of locking yourself into a corner and there is no choice anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I love the way the cat was on your shoulders. You took responsibility for it, because your shoulders is where you take responsibility. You know, you sort of say, sometimes you say, I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders, which means you're carrying responsibility. Mm. Sometimes you just, you know, you carry a pack on your shoulders, or people say to you, come and put your shoulders into it, or shoulder up to it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But what a beautiful thing to put on your shoulders.
Well, actually, it's funny because that night before I went to bed, my neck has been a bit sore from the car accident, and Gloria put some Tiger Balm on my neck, and I don't know, she pointed it out to me possibly that could have been something, because the cat was draped across my neck on the back of my
neck.
Oh,
there's definitely a connection there. I mean, cat is a sort of docile tiger. Tiger's a big cat, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
But what would you rather have on your neck, a tiger or
a
cat?
So
again, it's making a choice. So the tiger balm, and it was about relaxing you. And so the way to relax you is, you took the cue from the tiger balm too. The way to be more relaxed, the way to not be in a car accident, the way to have a lovely flexible neck. Yes. If you've got a flexible neck, if your neck is uninjured and healthy, you can turn all the way to the right and see what's there. You can turn all the way to the left and see what's there. And you can choose. Rather than if your neck is stiff and your head's kind of stuck, you can only choose out of what's right in front of you. People saying, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? So your car accident, your actual car accident you had in waking life probably came about as a result of not being able to see the choices to either side of you. What actually happened in the accident?
It was a three-car collision, and I was caught in the middle. I was actually sandwiched in. There was in front of me, this van just pulled in and stopped. And then that's how it happened.
All right. So you said it beautifully there. See, I didn't know that. You said I was caught in the middle. And when you listen back to this podcast, Jen, and you'll hear me say, if you've got a stiff neck, you can only see what's right in front of you, not to the right, not to the left. It's like the bit in the middle. You didn't,
caught in the middle.
You didn't see my hands demonstrating that, but Michael's laughing because he saw me put my hands up and indicate this section in the middle, which is where your head was locked.
Oh, wow.
So it's time for you. There's so much else in your dream that we could go into in great detail, but basically what you've got in your dream there, and I love the end is so positive because you come away almost with your own song.
I did really like that too.
Yeah, actually. I'd love to see you put that to music or write it up as a poem, get it published somewhere in a newsletter or something, or even paint a poster or collage a poster from cutting out pictures and images that you like and write the poem in the middle. And even it's okay also to change a dream poem if you like. You can change it slightly once you think about the interpretation if you want to really. So maybe rather than saying, where is the room for my gift, you can change the wording to say, and here is the room for my gift.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
And that would be your dream alchemy practice. That's the way of taking the real message from the dream and then finding the blocks in the dream and the block in your dream. You actually undo a lot of the blocks in that dream, but the final one you're left with is, okay, so now that I'm not going to be so self-critical, now that I'm going to help myself as almost sometimes before other people, now that I'm going to make proper choices about what's good for me, now that I'm not going to listen to other people, now that I'm going to choose who to associate and who not, now I know what my gift is. It's half psychic, it's half intellectual. I can have all of this. I know what my gift is. I can speak it loud and clear. Hey, I don't even need to sing it. I can speak it if I like. And now, you change the words. It's the final twist that the alchemy is going to do to say, and here is the place for my gift.
That's really nice. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Jen. Thank you very much for sharing your dream. It's been lovely to have you.
Thank you so much.
And I think your neck's going to get very well, very soon, very dramatically now. And that new car, you have so much choice, and suddenly the one that you want's just going to shine out from you there, and you'll.
Thank you.
Are there any cars that have got model names like cats? I don't know. And maybe. Michael's mouthing Jaguar. There you go.
I'll keep my eyes open.
Definitely do that, whatever you do. Thanks heaps, Jen.
Thank you. Bye.
Wasn't that lovely? Well, thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. And you can find out more information about dream interpretation and analysis on my website at www.dream.net.au or on my blog at janetheresa.com. And one little thing that I added in the new year, because this is January 2010 while this is being recorded, is a new service. In addition to my normal interpretation services, I've also introduced what I call a basic message and insight, which is more of a quick grab and a bottom line on your dream. Well, actually, it's a lot more than that. But anyway, you'll see when you go to the website. So have a look, go to the website, see what services are there. Loads of free information as always. And maybe sign up for Dream Tips, which is a free information service while you're there, all about dreams. So thanks for joining me today. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. Oh, and before you go, if you'd like to be like Jen and you'd like to come on the show, just email me. It's so easily done. You don't have to use your real name even. See you next week. Bye.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.